Spiritual Life Center. Transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart.
We greet you in the name of all that is good, all that is sacred, and in the warm and loving energy of this community, Spiritual Life Center. If you're joining us for the first time, we especially want to welcome you because we know that you are not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. Thank you for joining us on your unique path today, and we hope you enjoy this special message from this past Sunday's service.
Let us commune with the presence. We affirm that we live and move and have our beingness in the spirit of the living God. We are surrounded and are an intimate part of this presence. And this presence is always for us. And it contains every single thing we could ever hope for, want, or desire. The peace that passes all understanding, the wisdom that we are seeking, and the guidance that is always there to lead us along the way. And as we make this presence the activity of our awareness, no matter what we are going through or growing through, no matter what is taking place in the outside world, we realize it is always there for our greatest good. And we allow it to have its way with us. And we know in the end, it always has our back. And all is well. And so it is, and so we let it be. Amen and amen. With that, I invite you to join in saying our five unity principles, just to serve as a reminder of those ideas that we stand on that will help us carry us through whatever we're going through in life. So I invite you to say them together with me. God is absolute good and everywhere present. People are inherently good. Thoughts create our experiences. Prayer and meditation are how we connect with God. And finally, we must take action.
Good morning. My name is Heather Ladine, and I'm the mobilization manager at World Relief Sacramento. World Relief exists to empower the local church to serve the most vulnerable. And we do that in three major ways. So first of all, we focus on initial refugee resettlement services, which helps people in through employment. Our goal is to help every new arrival gain employment within their first 6 months of arriving. That also includes providing housing and furnishings for a family when they arrive. We also help in the area of immigration legal services, where we offer things like DACA renewal workshops, help families on their pathway to citizenship. And thirdly, our focus is on education. And that's predominantly for women and children and youth. So we provide ESL classes, vocational ESL classes, as well as we have a welcome club that meets twice a week, where we offer character building lessons, homework help, and lots of soccer. So we are so, so thankful to the Spiritual Life Center for your generous donation. In January and February, we received an unprecedented number, totaling 333 individuals that arrived. And so we were all hands on deck and actually running out of a lot of our normally donated items. And so your gift was able to provide for those extra items that we needed to purchase for families, like sheets and blankets and cleaning supplies and things like that, that each family will need when they arrive. So a very big thank you from all of us at World Relief Sacramento for joining us in making an impact on our refugee and immigrant community. Thank you.
Spiritual Life Center is a loving, vibrant family that welcomes home all people and accepts everyone, no exceptions. Weaving ancient spiritual traditions with emerging wisdom, we cultivate a spiritual deepening with the divine, each other, and our planet.
Day by day.
As we move into this time of meditation, take a breath, take two breaths, and allow yourself to relax into that breath. Drop your shoulders, relax your hands, relax your eyelids, and just move into your natural breathing. And allow yourself to drift into a light daydream. You're inside your house and you can't leave. And so you simply stare at the wall. And as you focus your attention on the wall, you notice a small spot of light. And you look around and there's no source for the light. There's no window. And so you blink to clear your vision. And when you look again, the spot of light has grown even larger. And as you watch, the spot grows and grows into a shimmering oval of light. And it grows and grows until it is almost the size of a door. Curious, you walk over to it. And as you get closer, you realize that you can see through this light. And it looks like there's a beautiful garden on the other side. And so now you step through the light. And as you do so, there is this feeling of love, of knowing, of belonging. And then as you step onto the other side, onto the green grass, you would say, that was interesting, but I don't know what I would call that. And looking around, you see the most beautiful garden. The sky is blue. The air smells of flowers and trees. You are out in the open and you are free. And it feels so good to be outside. And you take your shoes off and you feel the earth beneath your feet. And this feeling comes again. This feeling, this energy that flows through you and around you. It is so wonderful, but you don't quite know what it is. And you walk over to a nearby stream and sit down. You put your feet in the stream, dangle your hands in the water. And again, that same sense of being, of knowing, of belonging is there. And then you take your hands out and your feet out. And you lay down under the warm sun to allow your feet and hands to dry. And the light and the sun, the light from the sun warms you, dries your hands, dries your feet, and that feeling is there again. And then you stand to walk around, and a light breeze ruffles your hair. You can hear it as it rustles in the trees. And the breeze seems to wrap itself around you in a dance. And once again, there is that feeling, that knowing of something higher and better than yourself is there. This knowing wells up inside you, but you cannot describe it. You know what it is. It's a part of you. Yet it seems to come from all around you. And so you simply close your eyes and commune with it in the silence. And now it comes to you, this feeling, this knowing, this recognition is the energy of life itself. It fills you and sustains you in a way that brings you hope and joy and gratitude until you are bursting still. This is something you cannot define by any words. And all you can say is that it is an ineffable presence of the pure source that flows in and through everything. And you know that it is yours, that it is always there. In these moments of quiet, you have welcomed a conscious connection with the highest and best energies. And with gratitude as you turn to return. In these moments of quiet, you have welcomed a conscious connection with the highest and best energies. And as you turn back to the portal of light, to return to your body, you are grateful, and you know that this portal will always be here whenever you need to take a break. And as you begin to return to your body, receive this blessing. Oh, my beloved, there is no geography in consciousness. We are everywhere, all the time, in and through all that is. We are the stars. We are the earth. We are the people. We are. And because we are, you are. Because really, there is no you. There is no them. There is only we, and we are whole. Remember this always.
There isn't any fear here. There isn't any fear in love. When you come, when you come. There isn't any hurt here that you don't overwhelm. When you come, when you come. Oh, I am speechless, but I can't. No.
Well, good morning and welcome to our Palm Sunday experience, which is not normal as we've usually done it because it's virtual. And so in that spirit, I just invite you to give a virtual hug to everyone or to someone that comes to mind. Because, you know, we're not limited to this physical body. You know, we have something they call the etheric body, which is limitless, has no limitation at all. And even though we are in our homes, we still have the ability to connect virtually, intimately, and spiritually. Some would say even astrally. Although we want to stay our social distance and keep that social distance, we don't want to spiritually distance ourselves or prayer distance ourselves or mentally distance ourselves. Just physically distance for a while. And this too shall pass. And so when I said to hug virtually, know that that is something that is real. And you can feel that vibration when you step into it. Anyway, as we've been going through this experience for the last few weeks, I've been re-examining some writings from a group called the Stoics. And they started in ancient Greece, although I believe the philosophy and the ideas existed way before them. But as I was re-examining those writings, I realized that human history has never been free from adversity, has never been devoid of challenges. There have been wars throughout history. There have been plagues, natural disasters, and causing us to have challenging times, and therefore leading to experiences of suffering and even human death. And without a doubt, the ancient Stoics had their fair share of hardship. And how they dealt with those difficulties was really the foundation of their philosophy. You know, challenging times and times of uncertainty for us can cause us to worry. We worry maybe about how our lives may be different, come apart possibly. And that's part of the human experience. Because the prospect of sometimes going through a significant change and not knowing where this change will lead us can be nerve-wracking to our surface mind. And so the Stoics had a very profound thing to say when we're dealing with external circumstances. And they came up with ideas that will help us live peacefully in face of hardship, in face of what we might consider troubled times or a troubled future. And one of the things that they did, they made a distinction between our basic needs and what our luxuries are. You know, they reminded us that when we have challenging times, when they start knocking at our door, it's an opportunity for us to get clear as to what our priorities are so we can deal with the uncertainty more peacefully. They also reminded us that it's essential that we learn the difference between that which we can control and that which we cannot control. And the fact the only thing that we can control are our own actions, our own responses. As one of my teachers reminded me, that things may happen to us, meaning things may happen around us, but the only thing that really matters and what we can control is what happens within us. So we're definitely going through some interesting times. Some would say that they're challenging times. But we have the ability to determine what this means for us and how we will respond. You know, we don't deny from the human perspective what we're going through. I tell you, it ain't easy for many of us, or as I say, to go through these challenging times or crises, or probably more appropriately, we might call them intense times. But we have the ability to look at it from a different perspective. Because I realize that how we see a particular situation, our perspective on it, determines what it is for us. So as we look at this entire COVID-19, we can see it as preparing us a way to reveal our true character. There's a statement that we're probably most familiar with that says, tough times create tough people. So we can see that this is a time that's preparing the way for our character within us, our true character within us, to come out. You know, I saw a quote the other day from a gentleman named Howard Schultz. I think he was the CEO of Starbucks. And he said, in times of adversity and change, we discover who we are and what we are made of. In the same vein, an author, writer, and poet by the name of Arthur Ward, William Arthur Ward, said, adversity causes some people to break, but causes others to break records. And as people, we recognize we come from divine stuff, and we're here to break records. We're here to make breakthroughs. And so we can look at these experiences that we're going through, these intense times, these challenging times, as an opportunity for all of us to have a breakthrough. You know, I remember I took a training many years ago. I was part of the S training. And they would keep you there for all day, half the night. You know, you would kind of get worn down. And so you have yourself being broken down in order to build yourself back up in order to have a major breakthrough in your experience. You know, as you're going through it in the beginning, at least for me and some other folks there, you wanted to run out of the room because you had to face some things that before you didn't have to face or didn't want to face. And so when we say that tough times or intense times are taking place, we can look at it from many different levels. The first is the health crisis in terms of people getting sick and people getting infirmed and people passing on, and their earth date has come up. And then a product of these intense times is that there's an erosion of the economy, and we know it to be something that will be temporary, but it'll be a challenge maybe for others to get through. And we don't know how deep it may be or how long it may last. But we know that when we come from the perspective that challenging times, intense times, if they're used properly, can produce tough people. When I say tough, T-O-U-G-H, reminds us of the tough times. But they produce tough people, T-U-F-F. Now, if you look up in the Urban Dictionary and look up the slang dictionary, tough means unique. Tough means awesome. Tough means cool. It's a different kind of tough. It's kind of creative. So if somebody has a dress on that's magnificent, we might say, man, that dress is tough. It's different. It's out of the ordinary. Or someone is a sports figure and they play basketball and they made a tough move. That means it was creative. It was different. It was challenging to their whole way of being, but it was magnificent when you observed it. Or if we say that was a tough piece of art, that means it was phenomenal. So we can say these tough times, T-O-U-G-H, creates tough people, T-U-F-F, if we use this crisis in a conscious way. You know, I have a cleaners that's in my neighborhood that I've been going to regularly. And the owners of the cleaners recently sold it to a young group of people. There were some young folks. And they've been there maybe a couple of months. And, you know, they decided that with these tough times that they're going through, they would do something different. And so they decided that they were going to deliver all of the clothes that were in the cleaners to their customers, and they left mine on the gate outside of where I live. But they went beyond that at that time, not only just to keep their business going, but they decided that they were going to use their seamstress to make masks for the local medical workers here in Sacramento. And I believe they were on the local television station, and I believe that they wanted to be of service during this challenging time. And it made good business sense as well, but they just demonstrated something about themselves that showed the depth of their character. And I think for us, we can remember that and realize that our character ultimately determines the destiny of our life. It is true for us collectively, as a community, as a nation, and as a global society as well. And so we want to ask ourselves or say to ourselves, I'm going through this challenge. I'm going through this time to up-level and forge a new character for myself. Often people will talk about karmic propensities or the law of karma. And some folks have been saying that this global karmic retribution is taking place. Some sort of debt get back by the powers to be, the earth, the energy, or something along those lines. But we want to let go of that belief, because karma can only produce starting points. It cannot produce our destiny. If we set something in motion through a previous thought or action, it may set up a circumstance that is a new starting point for ourselves. But ultimately, destiny is determined by our character. Character is determined by our attitude. And as the Stoics would say, the only thing you have absolute dominion over, control over, is your attitude. As someone used to say to me, it's your to-do that's keeping you in that mood. Your attitude makes all the difference. We can, for a moment, just take a look at seemingly tough times and say, my God, I'm forging new character. I'm going to grow and develop and unfold through this experience. I'm going to shift my attitude to an attitude of upliftment, an attitude of inspiration, an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of thanksgiving. And what becomes of that, you may ask, our destiny begins to change. Because we're not subject to the circumstances and the situations. They do not have the final word. We are subject to our thought about the circumstances. We're subject to our thoughts about the situations. And our belief about the circumstances and situations and emotions around them really create our experiences. You know, each of us are individual expressions of this great thing we call the God presence. This cosmic something that's unfolding and contains everything that the power and the presence and the love of God is, we have it within us. We are made in the image and likeness of this presence, this power. So we have all of those qualities of this presence within each of us. So we want to open up and ask ourselves, who do we want to be? You know, who do we want to be during this tough time? Who do we want to be? Now, we have to take care of the basic things in our life. We have to take care of ourselves. We have to align ourselves with the best practices to keep us safe, the best practices of nutrition and exercise, the best practices of hydration. We want to eat healthy foods. We want to reduce our sugar intake. We want to align ourselves by maybe having a good vitamin regimen. You know, maybe take some elderberry that I was turned on to by Reverend Deborah that helped me through a little challenge I was going through when I was having my own cleansing. Many are doing these things right now. But maybe we want to extend it after this crisis is over and forge a new habit and take care of ourselves first and foremost. We start with that. You know, because, you know, like when you go on an airplane, whenever we start flying again regularly, they tell you that if there is an emergency, put your oxygen mask on first so you can go into your own safety zone and protect yourself. And we want to protect ourselves at this time, physically, nutrition-wise, mentally, by watching our thoughts that we give our energy to. But then there's more. We want to ask ourselves, now what? What do I want to be? Who do I want to be? This is beyond mere surviving. We don't just want to survive, although that's a starting point. It's going into the next step of our unfoldment as spiritual beings. So we don't want to come out of this crisis the same person that we went into it as. Otherwise, as I mentioned last week, we would have wasted the crisis. If we come out exactly the same, we have blown the opportunity. And you may ask why. You know, we all can look back on our life if we're fully conscious and we can see the so-called worst times in our life produce something in us. It reveals something in us that allowed us to grow and develop and unfold. Many of us may be saying, you know, that was a terrible time in my life. But if it wasn't for that time, it wouldn't be possible for me to be who I am today. You know, I look back on my own life, and when I reached a very low point in my life and got caught up in my own addictions and riotous living, and somehow got pushed to understanding some of these teachings that we're going through right now, and how it changed my perspective and changed how I negotiated and navigated through life, I realized that if I had not gone through what I went through, I would not have that perspective today. You know, Albert Einstein said something to the effect that adversity introduces a person to him or herself. And he's talking about our true self, that part of us that can never be hurt, harmed, or endangered in any way. Because that part of us brings out our gifts. It gives out our talents. It brings out the creativity that is within us and parts of our being that we did not know existed before the crisis took place. So we want to ask ourselves, who do I want to be? What did this crisis prepare me for? And then we want to listen with our inner ear. And I believe we'll all hear dimensions of our own soul that says you want to be let free. But maybe before that, you didn't know you had the ability to explore that possibility, or that you should have asked that question. Maybe up at this point, you thought you didn't have time to deal with such things. Well, I will say, you got time now. You're in the house. You're sheltered in place. Maybe, you know, you probably don't want to watch Netflix all the time. I'm not saying don't binge, because I tell you, I binge from time to time. I'm going to find me a little something to binge on from, you know, probably this week. But we want to take time to pull ourselves away and ask, who do I want to be? And then we can move to another question that says, how do I want to be remembered as I move through this time? And what does this crisis reveal about me? And as we're going through it, as you're going through it, we see that things will pop up in our mind. And we don't want to judge those things that pop up in our mind. We want to say, as we say in the Q training, that we're not going for therapy, we're going to awarepy. We're becoming aware. That's probably the most important thing about meditation. We become aware of what's passing through our awareness. And we want to ask, what is this revealing in me? Is it worry? Is it anxiety? Is it fear? If so, those are just static on the line of our consciousness, and it may be running us. Maybe we weren't quite aware of it at the moment. Or maybe we got engaged in compulsive behavior that allowed us not to face the anxiety. It deflected the fear, the doubt, and the worry. But now it's becoming full blown because of the intensity around us. And we ask, what is it revealing in me? So we ask a series of questions like that. Afterwards, of course, you know, we start out with taking care of ourselves before we start asking those higher order of questions. But we do want to ask, who do I want to be now? And then become available to hear our soul speak to us. And this presence, this soul, is independent of all circumstances that we may be facing. It's not influenced by those things. It's not influenced by the challenges. It's not influenced by the tough times. Because our soul does not care. It doesn't care about the circumstances or how we're feeling at the moment. Because it only wants us to grow. It only wants us to unfold. It only wants us to reveal the good that is coming to and through us. And we're not talking about the worldly or material good, but good relates to the unfoldment of the essence of who we are. So we begin to ask those kinds of questions. And something else begins to unfold within us. We start to stretch our awareness. Because when this particular crisis is complete, we will not be the same. We'll have different habits, different points of view, different perceptions, different ways of being in the world, This is what we want. This is what our soul longs for. Maybe the human part of us wants to resist it, but the true part of us is saying, grow, develop, unfold. There's more in you to be expressed. And as we do that individually, then it becomes part of our community, become part of our nation, and then ultimately part of the very planet in which we are living. The whole world can change in an instant when we start asking individually that question, who do we want to be? And we move ourselves to a higher order of beings. You know, I've been thinking about the workers in the medical field who are on the front lines. You know, the EMTs, the ambulance drivers, the doctors, the nurses, the support staff. And I was thinking about some of the doctors and nurses that have driven from different parts of the country to go to New York City to help out there because they were getting short of so many medical supporters. And the supervisor had everyone gathered there and that had come to help out, and he said he could hardly believe his eyes that people had come from so many different places to support all the people in New York and the hospitals there. And in the midst of watching this, I was holding this energetic. And while I was holding this energetic, I was giving a letter. And this letter is from a Dr. Rose, who happened to be the president of the Sutter North Medical Group here in the Sacramento area. And he wrote this letter to all of his doctors, his fellow doctors, and all the people in the medical profession that are going through the experience that we're going through now, that are doing the work. And this is what he wrote. It's a little long, but I think it may touch your soul as it touched mine. And he said, most of life is routine. We follow a script based on predictions written by history. People and events repeat themselves, the most significant of which often go unnoticed, interrupted occasionally by surprise and special events. Consider that day when that Seattle kid named Bill dropped out of Harvard in his sophomore year to go to New Mexico to write something called software. Software that would control machines that didn't even yet exist. Imagine that phone call home. But that's the exception. The majority of us choose to follow a predictable path of repetition with just enough variability to keep us interested. Then one day, out of nowhere, something happens that blows the status quo out of the water. Something so powerful, it demands total and immediate action. Something so unique, it remains novel and demands creative thinking. It demands dramatic, forceful action. Those are special times. They shake up preconceptions, allow for creativity, and demand decisive action. They're usually punctuated with emotion, not the least of which is fear. Your actions may have great consequence, but inaction would be disastrous. All of this is magnified if you happen to be in the healthcare where thousands look up to you for their well-being and very survival. And these special times allow for one other thing: learning. They are the ultimate test of your talents, your courage, and your character. You'll learn more about your organization, your colleagues, your friends, your family, and mostly yourself in these few days of crisis than in many years of the routine. So even though you are up to your neck in problems and are so tired you can't keep one eye open, pay attention to not just what is going on, but how and why as well. When it's over, and it will be over, it will end, sit back and ponder. What did you learn about yourself? The world will be better off, and you will be stronger and happier when you do. These are not routine times. And he ends on a personal note. I can't imagine a better group of people with whom to go through a crisis. And he ends, thank you, Dr. Rose. This indeed is not a routine time. These are not routine times for us. But as the doctor pointed out, I personally cannot imagine a better group of people to go through this period of intensity for learning, for growing, for unfolding than you. Peace and blessings to you. Well, I'd like to thank you for being part of our specially produced Spiritual Life Center Palm Sunday service. I also would like to give a special acknowledgement to our Spiritual Life Center staff, particularly our audiovisual team, Ira Cameron, who does the Wednesday service, to Celia and Martin Roots Marketing, to Paula and Larie, provided that wonderful music today, and those who have worked behind the scenes to make this happen. Sometimes people talk about essential services, and I would say this is something that's essential to our spirit during these interesting times. And we have an opportunity now for you to help us continue to send out these spiritual services as our community and our world needs it now more than probably ever. And so toward that end, I invite you to support S Spiritual Life Center with your donation and to give what you can, regardless of what that might be, because it'll make a difference and is much appreciated by all concerned. It'll allow us to continue to support you and others with spiritual nourishment as long as needed during this special time. You can give by texting SLC Love to 443-21, that's SLC Love to 443-21, or go to our website, slcworld.org, and click the Donate tab. That will give you other ways that you can support this effort. With that, I invite you to join in and say our offertory blessing together. Divine love, as me, blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, and all that I circulate. Thank you, God.
Where are you now when darkness seems to win? Where are you now when the world is crumbling? Oh, I
One heart,
one heart,
one mind,
one mind, one soul at a time.
We are grateful for the opportunity to share with you today and hope you've taken something from this Sunday's message. If you'd like to hear more from Spiritual Life Center, be sure to click subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening from. You can find out more about our community on our website at www.slcworld.org. We look forward to being a part of your continued spiritual journey. Wherever you are, God is, and all is well.
Spiritual Life Center, transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart.